Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. Welcome to Springs of Living Water with Pastors Ray and Jan Greenlee.
The way of Jesus is not one of vows and resolutions and terrible struggle and effort. The way of Jesus is not one of rules and regulations that take away all freedom and joy. Jesus is not a thief. He does not put us in miserable, dark bondage. That's the way and lie of the devil. The devil is the one who binds you to painful shame and to unclean lusts. He is the one who puts you in miserable, dark bondage. He is the one who speaks lies of self-condemnation. The way of Jesus is a new and living way. It's a way of victory and joy. The way of Jesus is one of peace, life, power, and joyous love. Today, I'm eager for you to catch the truth that Jesus loves you enough to die on a cross in order to save you from the bondages of sin and darkness. He calls you to join him in loving service, to give up your self-centered way of life, and to receive from him the wonderful gift of righteousness and freedom from all sin. Have you been defeated again and again and again, and believe that you must beat yourself up because you should be able to do it better? You will never be able to get it right on your own. But the good news of the gospel is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can receive a new heart, you can be washed, and you can be made clean. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can gain victories that before you thought were utterly impossible. You can have a sinless and pure heart before God now. Today, Jesus wants to catch your ear. He wants to win your heart. He wants to draw you into loving service. He wants your life to count for something clean and worthwhile. Give yourself today completely to Jesus. Ask him to give you a new heart. Ask him to wash you and make you clean. Stop trying in your own power to build your own kingdom and recognize that there is only one kingdom, and that is the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is one of love and peace and joy. We don't serve Jesus out of duty. We don't serve Jesus because we're in bondage to him. We serve Jesus out of glad thanksgiving in our heart. We serve Jesus from a heart overflowing with the love that he's placed in that heart. So today, would you consider giving yourself fully to serve him forever? If you'll do this, you will have learned the secret of a holy, peaceful, and fruitful life in the way of Jesus. Now, I'm reminded of a story in Mark, the 5th chapter. And as they make sure, suddenly out of the tombs comes rushing a man. He is a man, we are told, who was filled with an unclean spirit. He was in the bondage of darkness. He came from the tombs to meet Jesus. This was a man who had no home. He was homeless. He lived in the tombs and was naked. He was cold. He was hungry. This was a man in desperate condition. This was a man who needed the healing of God in his soul. He comes rushing out toward Jesus. He had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and he broke the irons from his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. The scripture tells us that night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, and Luke tells us to worship him. But his voice was not a voice of worship. This man was a man utterly divided. His heart longed for the purity and the cleanness of Jesus. His heart desired more than anything to be free of this bondage that held him. His misery was so great, all he could do is cry out in agony. And now he comes shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." And you have to stop and say, "Wait a minute, what's he talking about?" This man has been living in the tombs. He has no home. He is naked. He is hungry. This man has been beat up and kicked around. This man has been imprisoned. This man is filled with a dark, unreasoning, demonic spirit that keeps him in utter bondage and misery. And he's saying to Jesus, "Don't torture me." Wouldn't you say that living in the tomb was torture? Wouldn't you say crying out on the hills at night in agony of heart because he was hungry and he was filled with darkness and he was naked and he was cold, wouldn't you say that that would be torture? But now he comes to Jesus and he says, "Swear to God that you won't torture me." And Jesus simply said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit, or you unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And the demon spirit, taking over this man, spoke and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And the demons then began to beg Jesus not to send them out of the area, but instead to send them into a herd of pigs that were feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs, allow us to go into them." So Jesus gave them permission. And they left this man, went into the pigs, and the entire herd of 2,000 pigs rushed down the steep bank and dropped into the lake and were drowned. I want to back up, though. I want to look at this story more carefully with you. It seems to me that this man represents those men and women who are caught in the bondages of sin. This will not require some half-hearted gospel to set him free. This man is caught in darkness. He has agony of heart. He does not want this bondage any longer. Now, I'm sure there was a point in his life where he was in agreement with these demonic spirits, when his heart lusted after this darkness. Even now, as I speak to you, and I try to talk with you about the way of Jesus, the demonic spirits will arise and begin to speak to your heart. And they will scoff and they will scorn what's being said. They will say, "There's no way you can live without sin. That preacher's lying to you." They'll say to you, "There isn't any way for you to be set free. You're going to always have to live in this halfway place, this place of bondage, this place of misery. You can't be free of your sin. You can't serve Jesus. All Jesus will do is put you in bondage. All he'll do is steal from you everything that you think you enjoy. What Jesus will do is say, 'Take up your cross and follow me and die on the cross.' Jesus is a murderer. Jesus doesn't want to give you a new life." Or these demon spirits may take a different tack with you. They may say to you, "Don't listen to this preacher. He doesn't really know what he's talking about. You know already that you're saved. You know already that You have accepted Jesus, and now you're free to live your life as you want. Don't start listening to this, Pastor, because if you do, you're going to lose that freedom to sin when you want to. You're going to lose that freedom to go indulge in all those things of the world. You're going to have to become straight-laced. He's going to give you a bondage that you're going to have to live in. Oh, the devil is a liar. He comes and he's going to say anything he needs to say to you to convince you to remain in an unclean place. He's going to try to convince you that you're saved even as you commit sin against God. He's going to try to convince you that God will love you unconditionally. He's going to try to convince you that the robe of Christ's righteousness is about you in spite of your filth and your dirt, that you don't have to be washed and made clean. The devil is going to come with every lying spirit. He's going to do everything possible to prevent you from breaking out in the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's going to say to you, you know, what would you do if you lost your beloved football team? What would you do if you couldn't watch the NASCAR races? You know, what would you do if you had to pray? You know, what would you do if you had to read the scriptures instead of watching the television? Oh, he's going to come and lie to you and say that following Jesus is miserable. He's going to try to convince you to stay in the tombs. He's going to try to convince you to stay in a church that's dead. Now, be honest with me. Is your church a church of entertainment? Is it a church of the world's music? Is it a social club? Or is your church a place of real holiness, a place of sold-out consecration and dedication to Jesus? Is your church a place of body, bucks, and bricks? Is it a business enterprise that talks about enabling you to be the best you can be? Does your preacher give you sermons on strategies for success and happiness and tell you that you can have everything of Jesus and continue to walk in your wicked ways? Well, the devil's going to try to keep you in that kind of a church. I'm telling you today, get out of that church. Find Jesus. Don't continue to live in the tombs and say, oh, Jesus just wants to torture me. If I listen to this preacher, I'm going to live in torture. No, if you'll listen to what Jesus is trying to say to you today, he's going to bring you out of your torture. He's going to bring you out of your darkness. He's going to bring you out of the numbness of your heart. And he's going to begin to establish you in righteousness. Righteousness that's for real. Righteousness that comes by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Righteousness that is a free gift that is acquired by faith in Jesus. It's not by hard work. It's not by struggling. It's by putting our eyes on Jesus. So what is it that you want today? Why did you tune in to listen to this broadcast? Are you listening out of curiosity? You want to see what kind of things are going to be said today? Or is there a hunger in your heart? Is there a flame that's beginning to burn in your soul? Is there a conviction that's beginning to arise that you know you need to be delivered? You need to be set free. You need to understand the deep things of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You need to come into a fellowship with Jesus. You're tired of the smooth cotton candy Jesus. You're tired of the lies. You see the game. You see the false morality. You see the behavior of those who call themselves Christians but lust after everything of the world and darkness. So Jesus comes and he speaks. He says, what is your name? What is your name? Is your name follower of the world? Follower of darkness? Is your name contention and bitterness? Is your name lust and pornography? Is your name anger, cheating, lying, stealing? What is your name today? Is your name cold of heart? Is your name sad, sorrowful? Is your name sinner in the hands of an angry God? What is your name today? And are you willing to have your name changed? Are you willing for the Lord God of heaven to speak and command these things to come out of you? Are you willing to let Jesus speak into your life today in such a manner that you're set free from the bondages of darkness, from the gambling, from the clubbing, from all of the ways of wickedness? Are you willing to let Jesus remove from your heart today the lust you have for money? Are you willing to let Jesus today take from you the concern about how you're going to feed your family, how you're going to pay your mortgage or your rent? Are you willing to let Jesus come and be everything for you today? Now, the next picture we have of this man is that he is sitting at the feet of Jesus. Let me read it for you. Mark, the 5th chapter, verse 15. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. What a wonderful picture. Can you see yourself sitting peacefully in the presence of Jesus, clothed in his righteousness, made clean, in your right mind? And can you see how that would cause others to perhaps be very afraid of you, because suddenly you would not have their interest in the pig food. You would not have their interest in the things of wickedness and uncleanness, but instead there would be that joyful light beaming out of your face, that light of love and joy and peace. And now he asks Jesus the same question that I would have asked Jesus. Can I go with you, Jesus? Can I be your disciple, Jesus? I mean, when Jesus comes and sets you free like this, what can you do but ask if you could remain with him always? Once you've tasted of the love of Jesus, the things of the world grow strangely dim. The things of the world lose their appeal. You know, I'm not a follower of Jesus because I'm such a stoic. I'm not a follower of Jesus because I'm such a strong disciplinarian and I can apply that discipline and walk in righteousness. That's not why I follow Jesus, and that's not who I am. I'm the weakest of the weak. I have no willpower. I have no ability to walk in righteousness. There's nothing good or clean that lives in my natural self, in my flesh man. Oh, I follow Jesus because he poured out his love for me. And once I tasted of the love of Jesus, all I could do was follow him. All I could do was consecrate my life to him. All I could do was, Jesus, will you take me with you? But he said, no, Ray. I won't take you with me now. Go back. Preach my word. Tell others the wonderful news that they too can be set free of their bondage. Tell others the wonderful news that there is a place of joy and light that they can dwell in forever. Tell them that their sins can be washed away. Tell them I haven't left them. I haven't cursed them. I haven't abandoned them. I will never leave them. I will never depart. I will always call them to come and follow me until that day of judgment when it will be too late. But today is the day of salvation. Would you come and would you follow Jesus today? Would you let him move in your heart? You may say, Pastor, I would love to, but I have no strength. I want to do what is right, but I have no power. Oh, I know. But Jesus has power. You see, what we're talking about here is not a psychological deal. We're not talking about therapy. We're not talking about principles of successful living. We're not talking about strategies that you can employ to psych yourself out. We're not talking about neuro-linguistic training where I come and retrain my brain to respond in certain ways. We're not talking about any of that humanism. Instead, we're talking about the wondrous power of Jesus who comes from outside of us and enters into a man or woman, a boy or girl's soul, bringing something new, something unknown. We're talking about the miraculous power and presence of the Holy Spirit that will bring this substance of Jesus referred to in the book of 1 John as the seed. And literally, that word seed means the sperm of God. Chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. We're talking about something living and active from God himself that contains within it the essence of life. And God wants to come down and place that essence of life into your soul. He wants to bring into you a substance of life that is different than anything about you. This righteousness that I'm speaking about is not something that flows out of human wisdom or human knowledge or human ability or human effort. This is something totally outside of the human realm. This is something divine. This is something celestial. This is the actual seed, sperm of God that he wants to come and place in your heart like something radioactive. And that substance in your heart transforms you into a new person. It changes you. It changes the way you think. It changes what you like. It changes how you feel. It changes the way you operate. It takes from you all coarseness. It takes from you all foolishness. It gives you a sober mind. It takes away the drunkenness of this world. It's food for you that satisfies the deepest hunger of your soul. This demoniac was out in the hills. He was out in the tombs. He was hungry. He was cold. He was not dressed. He was naked. He was chased and stoned by men. He was abhorred. He was spoken of as something non-human. But when Jesus came and spoke those words come out of him, when Jesus came, Jesus planted in his heart that seed of God, that sperm of God. He fed him. He clothed him. He gave him a right mind. And now his heart is to just sit in the presence of Jesus, to drink in the glory of Jesus, to admire the beauty of Jesus. There's no indication that he felt that now Jesus was stealing from him his tomb. No, this man was glad to be rid of that tomb. This man was delighted to be rid of that tomb. He was joyous to be rid of that tomb. This man was now wanting to spend the rest of his life just following Jesus, looking upon him, tasting of his love, his mercy, his majesty, his power. And Jesus said, No, instead I want you to go back and tell your family what I've done for you. I want you to go back and be my witness. He's done the same thing to me. He released me from the bondage of self-condemnation. He released me from the bondage of uncleanness. He released me from the bondage of sin, and he said, now go back. Go on the radio. Tell people about this wonderful gospel of grace. Invite them to come to the National Prayer Chapel. Establish now the National Prayer Chapel as a place where men and women can come and hear the gospel. A place where they can come and experience the love and the mercy and the kindness of Jesus. Call for the National Prayer Chapel as a place of supplication and a place of strength and power, a place where I'll answer your prayers. Establish the National Prayer Chapel as a place where boys and girls and men and women can come, and regardless of how dirty they are, regardless of their uncleanness, they can be washed in the blood and made clean. Oh, do you catch it today? Do you catch the way of Jesus? It's not a way of bondage. It's not a way of pain and agony. It's a way of freedom and joy. It's a way of healing for the heart. I invite you to come. Don't let fear prevent you from coming. You'll be welcomed with open arms. We're not large and we're not impressive. We're just humble followers of Jesus who are serving him, who are testifying that he is the Christ, he is the Son of the Almighty God. Oh Lord, I pray today for my brothers and sisters. Would you convict their heart that there is freedom in Jesus? Would you convict their heart and cause them to come running to the cross to get clean and to be made whole? Thank you, Jesus. I pray in your holy name. Amen.
I'm Pastor Jan Greenlee. We pray that you've been awakened today by the Holy Spirit to a hunger for Jesus and his holiness. If you need someone to pray with you, call 703-490-8723. Write to us at the National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. That address again, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia 22195. To receive a copy of today's message, visit our webpage, nationalprayerchapel.com. If you want to get right with Jesus and experience his joy in your heart, come worship with us on Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Grace Lutheran Church, located on the corner of Prince William Parkway and U.S. 1 in Woodbridge, Virginia. At the National Prayer Chapel, you will find Jesus, the bread of life.